Okay, friends, let's begin. In the name of our loving God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Thank you. So just invite you to relax, drop your shoulders, let go of any worries or anxiety, any thoughts of ice or snow, and just let God have your whole heart and know that all is well. May our loving God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Good morning, God. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for waking us up this morning. We love you so much. Thank you for bringing us together to praise you, to worship you, to listen to you, to be instructed in your word. And we ask that you fill our hearts with your light, your love, and your wisdom as we listen to the word of God. We pray through Christ our Lord. You may be seated. Our reader this morning is Rich, and our signer is Nancy.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. So now, Jeremiah, brace yourself for action. Stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land, against Judah's rulers and royalty, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." The word of God. Our responsorial psalm, "I will sing of your salvation." I will sing of your salvation. In you, O God, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me and deliver me. Incline your ear to me and save me. I will sing of your salvation. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety, for you are my rock and my fortress. O my God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked. I will sing of your salvation. For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth, from my mother's womb, you are my strength. I will sing of your salvation. My mouth shall declare your justice, day by day your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth, until the present I proclaim your wondrous deeds. I will sing of your salvation. Our second reading, from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous, it is not pompous, it is not inflated, it is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially, and we prophesy partially, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became an adult, I put aside childish things. At present we see indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present I know partially, then I shall know fully as I am fully known. So faith, hope, love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The word of God.
morning, everyone.
Good morning.
May God be with you. Thank you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary?" And Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And Jesus said, "I say to you, no prophet is accepted in their own native place. I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. But it was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Another time there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. They rose up and drove Jesus out of town. They led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you,
When my son John was in the third grade, I got a call one afternoon from the school saying that he had spent the afternoon in the principal's office. He had been sent there by the librarian. So I was very surprised because John was a really sweet little guy and pretty easygoing. So when he got home, I said, "John, what happened? Why were you in the principal's office today?" And he said, "Because the librarian asked me to return the library book and I told her I wouldn't do it." I said, "Well, why not? It was in your backpack." And he said, "Because I wanted to find out what it would be like to have the principal be mad at me." I said, "Did you find out?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Did you like it?" He said, "No, I didn't like it." So John, unlike most of us, chose that day to be rejected and be in trouble. Most of us don't choose that, but it does happen in our lifetimes. All of us have been in the position of, you know, not being in favor with somebody else or being rejected. My husband and I have been cleaning out boxes from the attic, and I came across a file that he had made a long, long time ago with things for his resume. And in it was a letter, actually from the Diocese of Rochester from 1990. It was a rejection letter. He had applied for a job, and it was a letter saying that they, you know, weren't interested in him for the job. It was actually very nicely written, but I thought, I'm sure we didn't think that at the time when he got it. But where would he be today if he had taken that job, right? So he wouldn't have the beautiful company that he had. But we all have these rejections, and sometimes they're the right thing. They're meant to be, and yet they don't feel very good when they're happening. And today we have a story, stories about rejection. We have this story about Jesus, who we might not often think of being in that position, but here he is. He goes back to his hometown.
He's with people that know him very well. They know his parents. They've even mentioned that we know your parents. And they've also heard that he's doing great things in other places. He's healing people. And so they're kind of excited. So Jesus is going to do this for us. But Jesus doesn't do magic tricks, right? Jesus's healings come really from the faith of the people. And he knows that they don't believe in him that way, as we often don't when someone is too familiar to us. We sometimes really can't see the gifts and the beauty that they have. They're too familiar. And so Jesus gives them some examples of other places where people weren't, appreciated in their hometown. And the people realize, well, he's not going to do anything for us. So what do? They get very, very angry. In fact, incredibly angry. So angry, they take him to the edge of the cliff. And they're going to throw him down headlong. So they're really, really upset. And Jesus goes away rejected from his hometown. Like Jesus, we are often asked to shake the dust and move on, to go on to the next town, to leave behind that rejection. And we have wonderful examples in our own lives and our family members of people who have been able to do that. And we also have people in our country. And in a week, we're going to celebrate Abraham Lincoln's birthday, a man who had many, many failures in his life. We don't think about that. If you go to Washington, D.C. and see his memorial, you think about the great things he did, but he had a lot of suffering in his life. He had 30 years of it before he became president. He tried to start a business. It failed. He ran for office 4 times and lost every time. He failed to get many positions that he tried to get. He had a sweetheart who died. He had a nervous breakdown. He was rejected for jobs. All of this before he was elected president. Even when he was president, the difficult things continued. It was the middle of a civil war. He said, after 2 years of being president, if there is a worse place than hell, I am in it. Another time, after his troops were defeated, he said, well, we are whipped again, I am afraid. What shall we do? The bottom is out of the tub. The bottom is out of the tub. So very, very difficult times. And yet that 30 years of struggling and being rejected had prepared him to be the person in charge during the most difficult time of his life. He had already faced rejection. He had already faced failure. He had already had things in his life collapse. And he had learned how to move on. He had learned how to shake the dust off his feet, to keep looking ahead. About a month before Lee would surrender, Lincoln was able to regain his faith, the future, and to speak. And he said at that time, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in and to bind up the nation's wounds. And so not only was he able to lead, but he was able to have compassion for the very people who had put him through hell. He described. He was able to be the one to bring people back together again. His failures had tempered him like steel in the fire. They had strengthened him. There are others we can think of. Remember Dr. Seuss? We all grew up from Dr. Seuss learning how to read. His first book, And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, was rejected by 27 publishers. 27 places said, this is ridiculous, nobody will read this, we won't publish it, we don't want it. He said he nearly burned up the manuscript, but then he kept going. And 75 years later, he had incredible history of writing books that we've all read. I love one of Dr. Seuss's quotes, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. There are others. You might think of Michael Jordan, our famous basketball player. He said, I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I have been entrusted to take the game's winning shot, and I missed it. I have failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed. And that is why I succeed. Or J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter series, said this: failure gave me an inner security that I never attained by passing examinations. Failure taught me things about myself that I could have learned no other way. I discovered that I had a strong will, that I had more discipline than I suspected, and I also found out that I had friends whose value was truly above the price of rubies. Failure teaches us many things. Rejection teaches us many things. But sometimes it's not other people that reject us. We reject ourselves. We're so down on ourselves because we failed as a parent or a teacher or a friend or a spouse or a child. We said things we wish we hadn't said. We let people down, or we betray our own values. Or we just think that everything is our fault. There's a professor, Johann Haushofer. He posted on Twitter a failure resume. Most people in their resume put all the great things they've done, all the successes they've had. He put the opposite. He shared his failures and had sections like degree programs I didn't get into, research funding I did not receive, paper rejections from academic journals. He said he did this because most of what I try fails, but the failures are often invisible, while the successes are visible. I have noticed that this sometimes gives my students the impression that most things work out for me and that most things will work out for them. Such is not the case, he said. He said people are more likely to attribute their own failures to themselves rather than the fact that the world is unpredictable, life isn't always fair, and people, like selection committees and referees, have bad days. Remember that when you watch the Super Bowl today, right? Not always fair. It's true, though, isn't it? If we really look back in our life, we do remember those successful, wonderful moments. But there are many times that we weren't successful, or we didn't do things that well, or at least we didn't maybe get credit for it. Maybe somebody else got credit for it. But we keep going. Babe Ruth, who had the record for 39 years of the most home runs, 714 home runs, was well known for being a great baseball player. But he also had the record for the most strikeouts of any player in the major leagues. And he said this: never let the fear of striking out get in your way. Never let the fear of striking out get in your way. And that's so important because we do let it get in our way, right? We don't apply for a job because we don't think we'll get it. We don't get involved in a relationship because we think perhaps the person will reject us. We don't put ourselves totally out of the line because what if people don't like what we have to say? Don't reject yourself when you strike out. We all make mistakes, but we keep going. We keep going. The other reading today is a beautiful reading from Corinthians: love is patient and love is kind. And that reading reminds us that when people do reject us, when we do fail, we are not to retaliate. We are to love them. Hard to love somebody that's rejected you, and yet this is what we're asked to do. Recently in the news, there was a story about three American students who were in Italy. They were three young women going to school there, and they accidentally started a fire in their apartment after they purchased pasta and attempted to cook it without any water. The fire department officials were somewhat stunned by this, but they declared that it was an honest mistake they had, in fact, not realized that they had to cook the pasta in water. But these three young women became the object of ridicule in Italy, with postings all over social media about these stupid American girls. Until a famous man, Fabio Pici, a famous restaurant owner, who, instead of making sarcastic comments, decided to give them a four-hour culinary lesson, concluding with lunch at his restaurant in Florence. He said, "In this city, we are deficient in the ability to understand. We can all learn from this. Understanding is always what is beautiful and necessary." I love that. I love that he was able to look beyond their mistake and recognize that there was a way that he could help them and teach them. And so often we forget that we have the ability to do that too, to help somebody else who's struggling with a mistake. Love does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. At the end of the gospel reading, where after the townspeople are about to throw Jesus over the cliff, it says, "Jesus passed through their midst and went on his way." He passed through their rejection. He passed through their anger. He passed through their harsh words. He passed through it and went on his way, on his mission, on his direction. He had a direction for his own life. And we should know that in our own lives, we also have a direction. We can pass through the struggles that we have and stay on that path. In another reading today, Jeremiah is depressed because people are getting down on him. And God says, "Jeremiah, I have appointed you to perform a mission. So stand up and be strong. People will oppose you, but they will not prevail, for I am with you." People will oppose you. If you stand up and speak out for the truth, people will oppose you, but keep going. Elie Wiesel is a Jewish-American author, professor, and activist, and also was a prisoner of Auschwitz during World War II. He said, "There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest. The opposite of life is not death. It is indifference." We must not fail. We must not strike out. We must not forget to keep trying. There's a Japanese word, kintsukuroi, which means golden repair. It's a form of art where they take a piece of broken pottery and replace the cracks in it with gold to illuminate the cracks, because they say the imperfection is not something to be disguised. The damage is the history of the piece of pottery, and it is beautiful. They also describe a person in the same way. The cracks that we have in our own lives, the struggles, the rejections, make us vulnerable. They're what become the gold within us, the ability to be compassionate, the ability to understand, the ability to be strong and to keep going. In God, our rejections, our mistakes, our failures are opportunities. Times when we break and discover that we are vulnerable and that we need one another and that we need God. God is love. Today's passage reminds us that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And love never fails.